This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Alvin Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, bringing you another gracious study on God's Word. We're bringing you some studies now along this line, God's choice in salvation under the general theme, the sovereignty of God. We've been there quite a few days now, and we wish you would stay tuned with us and listen day by day as we bring you these messages. We're going to bring you Thus Saith the Lord. Our mailing address is Radio Missions,
Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785.
We want to mention that we, in our last study or two, we brought you a couple of songs by our gracious radio choir here. And I wanted to let you know we have those songs. If you write us, let us know. We'll send you a listing of them, singing these old blood songs. We just don't hear much of them no more, do we? Don't hear their old songs. There is a fountain filled with blood. Those songs, you don't hear them on the radio now. All you hear is, what is it, contemporary, they call it? Contemporary rock or something? Let's go back to our study on God's choice in salvation. God is sovereign by right and as a matter of fact. And you only have to open your eyes to see that God acts as a sovereign God in the dispensation of His grace. That's right. He gives grace according to His will. Let me call your attention to some of the quotations of our Lord Jesus Himself as to the sovereign acts of God's grace. Christ said that there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, but He was the only one sent to save a widow in the city of Sidon. Elijah was not sent to feed and to be fed by a widow of his own nation, but to a poor, idolatrous widow across the border in a foreign country. The next illustration our Savior quoted from, the Old Testament showing the sovereignty of God in His choice, there in the story of Naaman, we touched on those last time. He said many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, but none of them were cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. Yes, not one Israelite at all, but Naaman the Syrian, one who worshipped before the heathen God. God's distinguishing grace chooses strange objects, doesn't it? Isn't that right? Not according to the concept of man, but according to the omnipotent sovereign God. I wish also to call your attention to the fact that fallen angels, according to God's word, are condemned to endless fire. There's no salvation for angels, no Savior for angels. No precious blood was ever shed for Satan. There's no salvation to those noble spirits. But listen, man was made a little lower than the angels, was selected to be the object of divine redemption in Christ. Let me also call your attention to that rich publican in the 19th chapter of Luke. When he climbed the sycamore tree that he might see the Lord, the voice of the Lord of God, the Lord God of glory spoke and said, Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. What an example of God's choice among the sons of men, an object to bestow His sovereign grace on. Can you look at old Zacchaeus' life and see your life there? I can. I was an object of God's grace one day. I sure was. Just an object of His grace. And let me take you now to Jacob's well. Can you see any reason why that adulterous woman who had had five husbands and who was now even then living with a man who was not her husband, how that she should be an object of God's distinguishing grace? Can you sort that out, my friend, and justify how that the Lord would have saved her by some reason, some hook or some crook? No, I can't. I cannot, my friend. We stand and face God's marvelous love bestowed upon such objects of God's choice. Now, that's what it was. It was God's choice, my friend. Simple and plain, God's choice. Let me carry you on further. There on the Damascus Road, for a glimpse of that bloodthirsty Pharisee hurrying to Damascus with authority to hale men and women to prison and to shed their blood. Now let's stop right there and look for just a moment. Maybe you never thought of old Paul as being a bloodthirsty Pharisee, but he was. He was going to Damascus with letters from the high priest bringing those bound men, both men and women. He had orders to bring in any that trusted the Lord, any that followed the Lord in His ways, that's right. But nothing could stop him, seemingly, not the heat of the midday sun. Listen, for his old heart was hotter with religious rays than the rays of the Assyrian sun. But listen, he was arrested there on his wild course. on that wild ride there, the Lord spoke from heaven words of tender rebuke, and Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle. Why? There's no answer except in the words of Christ. Even so, Father, for it so seemed good in thy sight. Have you ever let that verse go home to your heart, that the Lord does as he chooses? Even so, it seemed good in thy sight. That's right, my friend. That's right. Pastor told a story one time of this old atheist that was speaking to a group of young men and kind of ridiculing and speaking about the Lord, how that was no such a thing as a God. If it would, it wouldn't be this. And he picked out a little fella there in the front row, and he saw it had no shoes on, and little old legs was all drawed up and crippled. And he said, look at this young fella here on the front row. If there would be a God, how could he treat a child such as if there was a God? There's no God. And he said, what answer can you give to such a preposterous thing as that? And the little fella raised his hand, and he said, mister, could I say something? And he said, yes, go ahead, son. What you got to say for yourself? He said, even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. For even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. He put that old boy to shame, didn't he? Put that old atheist to shame. For, Father, even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. Why are you saved today, my friend? My man, why are you saved? What is it about you that the Lord saw? Nothing. Nothing. It was because of his sovereign choice. That's right. His sovereign choice that he made for you and for me. That's right. That's exactly right, my friend. Not for one thing other than his sovereign choice. And he does as he pleases. From these illustrations taken from God's word, we see that God holds and exercises the prerogative right to choose from among mankind those upon whom he bestows his distinguishing grace in salvation. He holds and exercises that prerogative. That's right, my friend. Someone will jump up and say, only a rebellious spirit would do so, that God is showing partiality and that he's unjust. But let me give you this illustration. Here's a number of criminals guilty of the most horrible crimes. They're all righteously condemned to die, and die they must, unless the governor of the state here exercises the authority invested in him and gives them a free pardon. If for some reason, only known to himself, the governor chooses to pardon a certain number and leave the rest to die, is there anything cruel or unjust in his act? The answer is no. No. So we ask the question, is there unrighteousness with God if he should choose to save some and let others die? Listen to the scripture. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles? You find those verses there in Romans 9:22-24. We must answer, God has the right to do as he pleases, to do as he chooses, and does not have to give an answer to anyone. Now, my friend, you and I have to give an account. You and I will have to give an account of what we do with this. When God brings his message through his messenger, you'll have to give an account. You'll not be able to stand there and say, well, I never heard the gospel. But you have. This doctrine of the sovereignty of God in salvation, the oldest and basic truths of all of God's word, is not in opposition to and does not withhold any comfort derived from any other truth in the Bible. No. God is good. God is love. And the doctrine of God's sovereignty does not for a moment take away from man the comfort derived from those scriptures. The sovereignty of God in salvation and the free will of man are two parallel truths that never cross each other nor oppose each other. God, who is sovereign, God, who is absolutely sovereign, will always act in the way of goodness and love, even though he does as he wills. The free invitation of the gospel, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. These are not opposed to the doctrine of elective grace. I know that it's my duty to sow beside the all waters, and to scatter the seed upon the stony ground as well as upon the good ground, knowing that the doctrine of election and salvation does not narrow the gospel call, which is universal, but only affects the effectual call, which is and must be particular. The effectual call of God is not my work here, no. My business is to preach the gospel to every sinner. Thus saith the Lord. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to make its application to the chosen, to God's elect. God's invitation are honest invitations to everyone. My dear listener, Christ said, all things are ready. Come ye now to supper, to the supper. Our Lord has said to each one of us true ministers, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Even though our Lord foreknew he would come and has before all the world ordained who shall taste of that supper, yet the invitation is a true and honest one, and if you accept it, you will find it to be so. God has a number whom no man can number, whom he has ordained unto eternal life. Any man who ever lives or shall ever live and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, he hath eternal life. If you, as a guilty sinner, take the righteousness of Christ, if you, at all black and foul and filthy, come to the fountain and filled with blood, listen, filled with blood, election or no election, rest assured of this fact, that you are redeemed from the wrath to come. Now that's my friend. Folks ask me, how do I know that I'm elected? How do I know I've been chosen? Come to the Lord and see. Come to Christ, my friend. He'll not turn you away. We just read the verse. He said, come, all things are ready. Did you know all things are ready? There's nothing left to be done. Our Lord perfected, performed, and worked out God's salvation to the nth degree, my friend. There's not one thing that needs to be done to procure your salvation. There's not one thing that needs to be done on God's part. No, he says, come, yet you won't come. You won't come. You won't come. No, my friend. You folks here at Radio Missions, you won't come. You folks who hear me up there in Picayune, Hattiesburg, Mobile, wherever you hear me there in Cincinnati, there in Little Rock, you won't come to Christ. No, you rear back and say, well, you know, I'll just get by on my own. No, you won't. You go to hell for your trouble. If you never come to Christ, you go to hell for your trouble without warning. That's right. You can take opposition to God. We have folks here under the sound of this ministry who have made up their minds to go to hell. They've just took up opposition to the Lord. They said, well, I'm just not a sinner like the old trailblazer says I am. I'm just good as everybody. I'm just good as the next fella. And you probably are, maybe better. But that doesn't save you. That doesn't have a snap of your fingers to do with salvation. Oh, my friend, God is sovereign. You cannot fight God and win. Did you know that? You can't fight God and win. My friend, he could smash you like an elephant stepping on a flea. That's right. You're no match for God. Satan's no match for God. One day Satan will be bound. A lone angel will come from heaven with a great long chain and bind that old rascal. That's right. Throw him into the lake of fire to burn there, my friend. Listen, the old trailblazer burden for your soul. Did you know you can pray for the effectual call? That's in God's hand. You can pray. He said, if you ask anything in my name, Lord, call me according to thy grace. Lord, call me. Don't let me go out into eternity lost. Don't let the impression slip from my heart and my mind. It's been made here on the old Trailblazer broadcast. Lord, bless the old Trailblazer. Can you pray those prayers with me, my friend? Bless that broadcast. May it go out across this nation as a barbed arrow to the hearts and souls of men. This is the old Trailblazer, Pastor Albert Pendarvis, saying, it's good to have been with you this morning. Remember that our mailing address is Radio Missions,
Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785.
Goodbye and God bless you.
If you missed part of today's broadcast or would like a recording, the old Trailblazer broadcast is now available for download to your phone, to your iPad or computer via podcast. Find out more about our podcast by visiting our website at radiomissions.org. That's radiomissions.org.